Next case is Carey versus Hand. Again, this is Carey versus Hand. You may proceed.
Morning. May I please the court, counsel? I'm Avis Andrews. I represent the mother and appellant in this action. In this case, we have a child, a son that was born in 2005. He was 10 at the time of trial. At that point, he had been in the mother's physical and legal custody throughout his entire life. That was established by a court order in May of 2006 when the mother had both legal and physical custody. By agreement of the parties and a stipulated order in 2012, the parties agreed to joint legal custody with the mother having the final decision making, and physical custody remained with the mother. After that, there were some changes that were made. Around that time, she got married. She has subsequently had other children that are siblings of this child. And the main crux of this case, she started to homeschool the minor child. The father characterizes in his brief that this was some kind of plot or something that she had hatched against him, but I would suggest to the court that she had every right to homeschool the child based on the law of the state of Nebraska, the court order, and the father himself giving her the final decision making. Also, we have a situation where there were reasons why she took that course, in that she felt that the child was shy, which was agreed upon, I think, by the father as well in his testimony, that he was perhaps subject to being bullied at school, and that she had the time, the inclination, and the ability to focus on him and give him her attention throughout the day in homeschooling.
Ms. Andrews, if we could jump forward a little bit, what I'm having some problems with, and maybe you're not the person to be asking, maybe I need to ask the other side, but it appears to me that the district court specifically found that the appellee did not provide sufficient evidence to show that the child had been injured or harmed by the decision to do homeschooling, and yet changed who was going to have the decision-making policy, who was going to have the final say. So there has to be something else that the judge was concerned about that I'm not seeing. Can you give me any insight? I know there might be problems between these two people, and he wasn't invited to the baptism. He wasn't included in some of the other activities. Is that where this is all coming from?
Yeah, and I don't think it was spelled out, so it's hard to say. But I agree with you that the crux of this matter is that the court made a finding that the father had failed in his burden of proof to show that the child was injured or otherwise harmed by the homeschooling, and also made no finding that the mother was unfit. I don't think that was even alleged by the father, who testified specifically that the child is well cared for, that the mother is a good parent, and he had no physical objections to the care of the mother. I think the two main things that come to light in this case are, one, the parties do not communicate. And that goes into the question, too, why then should they have joint custody? And that would be part of our argument that my client had tried the joint custody by stipulation. She had tried to work with the father, and that was just not doable, and therefore her prayer was to go back to her having the sole custody. So the parents did not communicate well at all.
Is that something, though, that had occurred all along? I guess what I'm looking for is, what's the material change in circumstances that allows for a modification?
Definitely agree. The communication had been, I think, minimal throughout the life of this child. I don't think that was a change in circumstance. I think the second thing that the court took into consideration, perhaps even more than the communications, the personalities of these parents. And I believe his finding was that it was in the best interest, based on the mother's conduct concerning the father and son. The father alleges that the mother was alienating the son from the father. There's no proof of that, I don't think, in the evidence. It shows that he exercised his visits, that he exercised all of his visits. There is conflicting testimony as to how much they discussed this homeschooling, but each of them said they did have at least some discussion regarding the homeschooling. And there were various references about communicating on different issues throughout the life of this child, although probably not to the extent that most people would do that. The other allegation of the father is that the mother is trying to control the father, evidently through the son. Again, I don't think that is borne out by the evidence. One, I don't think there's any evidence to show that the mother is trying to control the child. I think, in general, the evidence shows that her focus is that child, is the family, is what is in the best interest of the child. And then to extrapolate that and say, well, she's controlling the child, and so therefore she's controlling the father. Even if that was true, the father had options available to him. He could have come back to the court. He could have gone to mediation. If he didn't like the homeschooling, he could have gone to the Department of Education. He didn't do anything. Didn't do anything for 3 years. This child had been homeschooled for 3 years by the time we got to court. And this action was not brought by my client. It was brought by the state of Nebraska regarding child support. Only then did she bring up the issue of whether or not this custody arrangement was working. And the evidence shows that at that point, or the pleadings show at that point, only then did the father make any effort to bring up the issue of homeschooling. And that became the crux of this matter. We would suggest to the court that another problem with the trial court's opinion is that it not only guts the mother's decision as far as homeschooling without evidence to support that, but it also then makes her, in essence, the babysitter, for lack of a better word. She gets the duty and responsibility, which she's glad to have, she wants, of taking care of this child and making sure this child gets to whatever school the father picks during the school year. And then in the summer, she is virtually cut out. Then she gets every other weekend. So I would suggest to the court that the decision of the trial court is not fair to the mother and not in the best interest of the child in that respect as well. Besides the burden of proof, we would suggest to the court that the joint custodial arrangement suggested by the court or ordered by the trial court is not appropriate in that it destabilized the child's life. The father argues that the mother did not lead a stable life, but the evidence was that he was the one that had gone from job to job. He was the one that spent 3 months without work and spent his savings on himself rather than paying his child support. He was the one that wasn't standing up for this child. He was the one that was quite content to let the mother take the lead and parent this child until it became a matter of money and the child support arose. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if I may.
You may. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court and Ms. Andrews. My name is Shane Plachek, and I'm the attorney for Appalee and Cross Appellant Mitch Hand.
Mr. Plachek, can you just start us off and tell us what the material change in circumstance was?
Sure. And I'll go back to the preceding order, which was the stipulated order in 2012. I think Ms. Carey herself testified that she preferred to have sole legal custody, that everything worked better with sole legal custody. Ms. Carey at trial testified that she would prefer to have that because she wants to make all those decisions. So from her perspective, I think she would say that the joint that they were working on in 2012 wasn't working, in her opinion. From my client's perspective, Ms. Carey in 2012, I believe, lived in Omaha. She had moved to Blair with another person. She had changed the child's school to Blair Public Schools, moved back to Omaha, changed the child's school to Standing Bear Elementary, and then she made the decision to homeschool, right? Other material change in
Well, almost all of that happened before 2012, didn't it?
The decision to homeschool happened 1 month after the stipulated
order. Right, but all the other moves from school to school happened before the stipulated order in 2012.
That's accurate, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's accurate. So the homeschooling decision happened 1 month after they reached their stipulated decision. Other issues that came up as far as material change of circumstances.
Do you think that's a material change of circumstance?
The homeschooling situation? I think the homeschooling, I don't think Doolittle is necessarily the correct analysis. I think the district court said I didn't meet the burden, or Mitch Hand didn't meet the burden to show harm to the child. And specifically in the order, said, well, the court will not order that the child attend any specific school or attend homeschool. It is the hope of the court that the parents will work together. So I think the homeschooling decision provides a window into Ms. Carey's personality and her persistent interference with Mr. Hand's parental rights. I believe...
Okay, explain that to me.
Sure. So the statute, I think the district court was correct in its decision-making under a different analysis than this Doolittle or Von Tersch, which Von Tersch would be a trial court compelling someone to enter a child in public education. That was not done here. The judge specifically did not do that. I think that Judge Hall could reach his decision under the general best interest analysis, which is 43-2923.
Well, no, we're talking about material change of circumstance. What is the material change of circumstance that ever gets us to the issue of what's in the best interest?
Sure. I would say that it would be the decision to homeschool happened 1 month after. If you look at that decision...
You found that that didn't matter.
But you found that that did not, that I did not show that that harmed the child. But if you can look at the motivation, Your Honor, of the reason to homeschool, on top of that, then I get into the persistent interference with Mr. Hand's parental rights, and that would be 43-2932.
Can you tell me what those are?
Sure, persistent interference. You mentioned the baptism. Mr. Hand was not advised of any of the book clubs.
When did the baptism happen in relation to the modification? Prior or after?
In relation to the modification, after 2012. It was after 2012. I'm not sure when the child, Miss Carey, after she was wed or married, she changed churches and he was baptized at that church. My client was not advised of the primary physician, was not advised of the chiropractor.
What affirmative it's the same question. What affirmative steps did your client take to become involved in all these other areas?
Sure. As far as visitation, he never missed a visitation, and that required him to drive from Nickerson-Snyder back to Omaha. Never missed a visitation. As far as communication between the parties, I guess when we place the onus of the inquisition on Mr. Hand, I would argue that Ms. Carey actually has a higher standard as the party making these decisions, as the party with the tie-breaking authority.
Did he ever, on any occasion, ask for that information?
As far as what's in the record, I'm sorry, Judge, I don't know if that was in the record as far as it.
If there's no evidence that he ever asked for it, how can we say that it was error for her to not give it to him?
Sure. As far as error not to give it to him, I'm not sure if that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the material change and persistent interference with his rights. And is a party who's making these decisions regarding the child that she shares joint custody with obligated to share that information with the father?
If he doesn't ask for it, if he doesn't even interested to even want to know about it, I don't know how far we have to go to make sure she gives him that information, unless the order specifically sets it up.
If a party is unaware that a child is seeing a chiropractor, I'm not sure the question would ever arise, is my child seeing a chiropractor? If so, what is the name?
Well, yeah, but what has my child ever seen a doctor? If my child goes to see a doctor, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to be included in that. I mean, that's all it would take.
That is a very reasonable discussion, but and oftentimes these custody cases just don't involve that kind of reasonable communication. But I would say, on behalf of my client, that I think it's clear from the record that Ms. Carey said, I do not like Mitch, I think he's a bad role model, and I thought that since basically Elijah was born. The court determined that was without any justification or reasoning. Ms. Carey is the one that says she will not talk to Mitch on the phone. Ms. Carey is the one that said, I don't want him at the book clubs. I've never told him about the book clubs. I don't want him around my other children. Again, the court said that this is without justification. So as far as Mr. Hand inquiring, I would love my clients to continually, persistently ask to the point, short of harassment, but these people see futility in that. And I believe that's what Judge Hall saw when he drafted a parenting plan that provided Mr. Hand with some, I think, some safety mechanisms in order to avoid this persistent interference from Ms. Carey. And when we talk about the persistent interference, we talk about, I was involved in this case from the beginning, in 2006 filing, 2007 filing by her, 2008 filing by her, 2015 filing by her.
So is it really a material change? I mean, if she's disliked him since Elijah was born, or is it just a matter of it's a compilation of all of these things that have finally led up to this point?
I would agree with the latter comment. I mean, the homeschooling, I don't want to get off on the Doolittle standard, but in short, a parent, a non-custodial parent, one of the best opportunities to be involved with their child's life or educational curriculum is to contact the school. You get involved with Power School, you go to parent-teacher conferences, you can email the teacher. I think what Judge Hall saw is that Ms. Carey's motivation was to seclude this child from her father. He received every weekend in the summer. She wanted to expand her summer education of Elijah. And in short, that would shrink down the amount of time he would have. If you have every weekend, but only 1 month in the summer, that's certainly far less than a full summer. Ms. Carey wanted him to have 1 week of summer visitation, but only if he's not working. I mean, you'll see time and time again the requests that she made, I think, are directed at minimizing Mitch Hand's influence and parenting capabilities with his son. So therefore...
Okay, I'm not following that one, because I understood that she was willing to allow the son to be with the father when the father was not working.
For that 1 week.
Okay, if that's the case, then he would spend all of his time with the child. Whereas if his father was working, then that would limit the time the father would have with the child. Correct.
Okay. So currently, Mitch Hand has every weekend in the summer, and he had 2 weeks in addition to that. She sought to shrink that to 1 week in the summer.
Assume he didn't work.
So long as he didn't work. And if Mr. Hand had not accumulated enough PTO or didn't have vacation time, then what, he would be losing his time with his son. And I think that, generally speaking, courts recognize that there are working parents, and working parents have a right to come home and see their child, to experience a normal day-to-day routine and regimen with their child, just like, let's say, Ms. Carey, who has a spouse who is working, and her ability is to stay home with the child. I would argue that Judge Hall specifically used 43-2932, which is, again, that statute that allows the court to make modifications to a parenting plan to address parental misconduct. If we look at the order in question, Judge Hall specifically concluded the mother's overriding motivations is to keep the child away from the father. And that's the only reason that the homeschool, I think, becomes relevant for this argument. Again, it is not that I am appealing the Doolittle analysis, I'm not. But I think the homeschooling analysis is that she specifically removed him from school so that she could isolate him from the father. And I believe that's supported by the record and by Judge Hall's opinion.
Could we switch gears for just a moment?
Sure.
And talk about child support? And my understanding is that you're contending that the district court erred and calculating the deduction for health insurance.
Yes.
Can you explain that in more detail?
Sure. There were two objective, I think, errors that the district court made. Number one, they failed to give Mr. Hand the 3% retirement deduction. There was testimony. There's a current pay stub that reflected that. There was the health insurance deduction. Mr. Hand is providing health insurance. There was an exhibit, and it's somewhat minimal, but it's about $8 per entry online. I believe it's 2F for self and then the line for the child. I also brought up...
What's the line for the child? How much was that?
It should be 134 versus 124. And for the self, line 2F, it should be 145.90 versus 138.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. How much time do we have?
You have a minute.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Andrews. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to suggest that if the mother's main motivation was to keep the child from the father, there are certainly easier ways to do it than to homeschool the child. I think that she was very clear that she put a lot of effort into homeschooling this child, picking the curriculum, spending time with him, finding activities for him, and not just homeschooling him in her home, but making sure that he had opportunities outside of the home in wrestling, in book clubs, in social activities with other children. And I would note that the father was involved at least in the wrestling, and at least in the games. I think there was some notice of other activities, and he just chose not to become aware of them or to participate or whatever. But again, he is an adult and he could get involved and he could take steps if he wanted to. I would suggest to the court that the trial judge's decision, not only left the father to make the decision on schooling, but also health, in which he had not been involved at all and not involved himself. Religion, which is one of the things the mother was trying to focus on in her homeschooling, and other things. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Andrews.
Thank you.
All right, the next case is Latenzer versus